Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips episode 292. And today's question is this: how would you like to have a healthy teaching atmosphere, culture, ministry in your church, in your local group? How can you develop it? And if you think you have it, how can you develop it even more? This is very important. And it's on my mind because of a comment I got on YouTube from my last video, which I will paraphrase. This person asked me or wanted my views on the fact that in his local church, he finds it difficult to get teaching on the agenda. Not talking about boring facts and dates, he says, but lessons that give a bit more background and context than most. The people who have influence over this are in the upper leadership. They don't seem to value it. The majority of the church, he says, enjoy and find meaning in lessons like this, but the upper leadership don't. So what to do? And I asked him for a bit more information, and he said that he himself did a lesson about learning, communicated that all disciples need to be learning, which the Bible will back that up. There are some people who are more heart-driven and some who are more mind-driven. So just like 1 Corinthians 12, the body needs all the parts. So even those who don't enjoy teaching as much need to be loving towards those who require it and who would otherwise starve. He thinks that the lesson he did didn't work very well because he hasn't seen any changes, even though the lesson was well received by those who heard it. So what to do? So let me give you some brief points today, ask you what you think is significant, see if this helps our brother or not, and let me know what you think. So number one, the first thing to do is dialogue with your local leadership. Keep a dialogue going. You don't have to send them a text message or an email every day, but don't give up. Keep probing and hopefully helping the leadership to know that this is important to you and perhaps to other people in the congregation. Keep that dialogue going. Keep the channels open. Don't close it off. Try not to get too uptight or angry or frustrated in the way you express yourself. That makes dialogue as brothers and sisters harder. So keep that dialogue going. And along with that, you may also, if you can, want to point to other ministries which are healthy and have a healthy teaching ministry and can demonstrate how that teaching ministry has benefited that congregation. If you can do that, or even individuals, they've been benefited spiritually. Congregations have benefited by paying attention to this. That may also help your case in your dialogue with your local leadership. We know in Acts chapter 13 in Antioch that the church there had prophets and what? Teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. If the church in Antioch had teachers, how much more we do? Do we think we're above Antioch? Do we think we're more spiritual than the church in Antioch in the first century? We don't need teachers? Now, you've got to define teaching and teachers. That's another podcast, YouTube video for another day. But nonetheless, if the apostle Saul, or Paul, who now here called Saul, was part of that teaching group and thought it was important, and his letters reveal that, how much more all congregations must value it. Even if they don't have all the gifts necessary to seek it out and figure out how to develop it is important. So number one, dialogue with your local leadership. Number two, explore the idea of getting other people in to do some teaching outside of your local congregation. In other words, asking your local leadership, could we get so-and-so to come in and teach on this topic? Someone who everybody would respect, somebody perhaps with a specialism. For example, I sometimes am asked to teach teens or apologetics as a topic. I can do that, but I'm not the best at it. I'm not the best at apologetics that I know, and I'm not the best at teaching teens that I know. Other people far more gifted. For example, Andy Bawachi, good friend of mine, brilliant with teens. It connects with them in ways that I can only dream about. Or apologetics-wise, my friend Rob Payne, a scientist, who does brilliant stuff in apologetics and far more credible and far better at communicating it than I would ever be. So if we wanted to do something on apologetics in my church, I probably wouldn't do it myself. I would probably ask Rob Payne, are you free? Could you come and do that? And if we needed to do something on apologetics for some reason, the congregation would say, oh, a brilliant idea. Yeah, we really need some teaching on that. So if you can find somebody with a specialism, bring them in, and that may help engender a sense of significance and value of teaching, because when people see and feel, gosh, this was really useful, can we have more? Not only inviting people in, but develop it more internally. That'll help your case, and it will help mature the congregation. So a specialism, bring people in to address a specialism that's relevant to a clear need in your congregation. Just not for the sake of it, but it will meet a particular need. In 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 17, Paul writes, "For this reason I've sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Paul sends Timothy to help with teaching in the Corinthian church. Now, he teaches by reminding them of Paul's life, but that fits with his teaching. So therefore, in some ways, he is doing some kind of teaching there. So Paul sends Timothy to help with a teaching need. Thirdly, third thing to think about is for you yourself, my brother, and any of us here watching, is to build your own skills in teaching. If you have a conviction about this stuff, build your own skills. Even if you're starting right at the base, maybe you're just a young Christian, maybe you don't really know much Bible yet, build your own skills. Over time, it will compound and you will be much more effective. What does that mean? It means a number of things. Number one, do your own personal Bible study. Get this book out, open it, have it open. I have a desk here. My Bible, when I'm not, whatever I'm doing, studying it or not studying it, it's open on a little book tree here, which I'll show you on the camera. There's my book tree. And I put it on my book tree and it sits on my desk open all the time. It reminds me of how important the Bible is. I know it's just a physical thing, but it's always there. Open the Bible, study it. I have a time in the morning. Most mornings it's the same time when I do my Bible study. I have a particular piece of music that lasts for 30 minutes, which means I do at least a 30-minute Bible study. I often do more, but at least I do that. Set yourself up for your own great personal Bible study, number one. Number two, along with that, is consider studying in a classroom setting of some kind, whether online or physically. Do some kind of online course or do a course in a local Bible college or something like that. Find something that will work for you so you can increase your own knowledge. Additionally, find a mentor. Find someone who can coach you and mentor you in teaching. The person who's had the most influence on me and my teaching is Douglas Jacoby. Please don't ask him to be your mentor. He's got more than enough to do right now. But I'm just saying, having a mentor makes a big difference. It's not that I'm the same kind of teacher as Doug. In fact, we're very different. But he's been able over the years of knowing me now for over 30 years, best part of 40 years, to help me develop and grow in my teaching. So find a mentor. If it can be in your local congregation, that's probably best. But if not, somebody you know, somebody who can mentor you, even if it's only a phone call once a month or something. Find a mentor. And along with that, another thing I'd suggest, join a tribe or create a tribe of like-minded people. I did this a few years ago with a group I call the Apollos Group. Some friends of mine, we meet together online because we live in different parts of the country. We meet online once a month. We have a good talk about our teaching projects and what's going on in our own lives. Sometimes we meet at other times. Sometimes we put on events together. But being part of a group, being part of a tribe is such an encouragement. When you feel you're on your own, you get isolated, and that's easier for the devil to pick you off and to discourage you. When you're part of a tribe, sometimes those brothers pick me up, and sometimes perhaps I can help pick them up, but join a tribe. Additionally, with this build your own skills, there's the study part, the Bible part, but there's also the presentation part. And I would say, strive to become captivating in your teaching. Strive to become captivating. Notice I'm not saying like a performance. I don't mean that. But in a way like Jesus, when he taught his parables, everybody listened, everybody reacted. You could have heard a pin drop after his punchlines. He was captivating. If teaching is going to be effective and if teaching is going to be valued, it greatly helps if we're good at presenting the teaching. Become as captivating as you can. And lastly, with this point about building your skills, solicit feedback. Ask people you trust to give it to you kindly but accurately, to give you feedback. You don't want somebody who says, "Oh, it was awesome, bro. Fantastic. Best lesson I've ever heard," every time you do anything. You also don't want someone who says, "Well, it was okay, but here's these 16 things you need to change and improve," or, "I don't know what you're doing teaching." You don't want either of those extremes. You want somewhere in between of somebody who says, "I really appreciate what you did today." Even they could appreciate the effort, even if they didn't think you did a very good job of explaining scripture or something. And here's one thing, and this is generally the best thing is to get one bit of feedback. If you get 10, you won't be able to work on them all. Get one thing. Ask people, "Is there one thing I could have done better?" Or, "What's the one thing I did you think I did particularly well?" Get some feedback. Keep learning. Build your own skills. Even Jesus, Luke chapter 2, where do we find him as a young man? He's in the temple, verse 46, sitting among the teachers. Why is he sitting among the teachers? He's learning, sitting there, listening to them and asking them questions. Even he had to learn. Or Paul, who studied under Gamaliel, Acts 22, he benefited from that, didn't he? When you look at his command of the Old Testament, we need to build our skills. Fourthly and finally, find a channel. Find a channel, make a channel for your own teaching locally. Be useful locally. Be effective locally. Find ways to bless your church. For example, let's say your church has a campus ministry. Most campus ministers I know would bite your hand off if you were really good at doing, say, apologetics for the modern generation, for the young people of today, the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds of today. What do they need to know about apologetics? What would help them to bring their friends to an apologetics event on campus? If you know how to deliver a good talk on apologetics, man, I mean, you're going to be welcomed, right? You're going to be given an welcomed with open arms. You're going to be given opportunities, making yourself useful. And you develop yourself in doing that. I was asked to teach at a school a few years ago on archaeology and the Bible. It's not my specialism, but I went away and studied it, and I developed a presentation, which I've delivered now a number of times, and it's still not my specialism, but it was effective, and the students at that school really liked it, and the Christians that invited me and brought their friends, they loved the fact that I came and did it, and of course the church benefits, and church leadership will appreciate that. So find a channel locally. And I'd add to that, if you can, find a channel online where you can also post your material and you'll get feedback, whether it's YouTube or wherever, but do something online if you can. And maybe if you're not very technical, find someone that can help you with that, because that then blesses other people. And don't think your voice online doesn't matter, because your voice is different to my voice. You and I might both teach on 1 Thessalonians. Your lessons will be very different from mine. Not necessarily better or worse, just different. You've got different life experiences and different ways of viewing things. So every voice online that's well considered, well prepared, and thought things through and teaching the script as well, every voice is valuable. So that's four little points there that might help you in developing a healthy local teaching ministry. Firstly, dialogue with your local leadership. Find people you can get in to help that may highlight the significance and the value of teaching ministry. Build your own skills and find a channel. Concluding, be in this for the long haul. Be in it for the long haul. Change takes time, like maturity. We don't mature overnight. And as we study and learn and teach and hear others teach, we grow, but it does take time. So don't give up if you don't see a healthy teaching ministry developing by next Thursday. You got to work at it. Some of these points may help you. Colossians 1, verse 28, Paul writing says, "He, Christ, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." What is Paul saying? The church in Colossae are not fully mature. Does that mean they're all baby immature? No, they got some maturity, but they're not yet fully mature. So what's he going to do, and what's he going to encourage others to do? Proclaim Christ, admonish, teach with all the wisdom, so that this maturity will develop to its fullness in Christ. And in the end, it's about Jesus, isn't it? It's about trying to elevate the presence, the visibility, the honor, the inspiration of Jesus that's available to us as we teach others and to a congregation as we lift Jesus up in front of everybody. And never forget that that's our goal. The goal in the end isn't to have something structured, a teaching ministry with committees and funding, and maybe that's okay, but that's not the point. The point is to study and teach in a way that inspires people about Jesus. So let me know if you find any of this helpful. Do send me any questions you have. I might ask all of you that are watching or listening, what have you found helpful in building a healthy teaching culture in your congregation? Or if somebody else has been doing that, what have you noticed that they have been doing? Or conversely, I suppose I should ask, what have you seen that gets in the way of that? And how do we deal with it? Not to be critical of our local congregations or leaderships as such, but more to say, how can we help this develop? What's my part? What's your part in seeing this develop for the glory of God? Of course, it would be remiss of me to finish this recording without mentioning my own provision of training for people who want to develop teaching skills, and that is the Athens Institute of Ministry for the UK and Ireland, taught by myself, Dr. Andy Bawachi, and Dr. Douglas Jacoby. And we have our next module coming up on the 4th of March, 2023, on Old Testament Survey. One of the best things you can do is get to know your Old Testament. And that'll help you to teach not only Old Testament, but it'll help you teach New Testament well. A lot there to feed in there. So if you want to know more about that, drop me an email. Malcolm@malcolmcox.org should do it, and I'll send you more information, or you can go to the website, aimukandireland.com. Let me know what you think about all that. Right, that'll do for now. If you know anybody that might benefit from this, please pass the link on. If you want to leave a review or a comment, I'd be very grateful. If you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, you can do so at my website, malcolmcox.org. And that'll do for today. Thanks for your question, my brother. And if there are other questions out there, send them my way, and I'll do my best to answer them. Until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. God bless.